RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
It is my great pleasure to welcome Ro Edge, co-founder of Save Women's Sports Australasia, to the program. Morning, Ro. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Morning, Paul.
You'd be happy. You'd be feeling a little upbeat this morning after the Minister of Sport has asked Sport NZ to update its guidelines.
Yes, it's definitely a move in the right direction and finally nice to have a win because, you know, I can't believe actually I've been fighting this for 5 years. If you told me 5 years ago it would be taking this long, I don't know if I would have embarked on this journey, but, you know, lucky I'm stubborn, right?
Well, okay. How long did you think it would take?
I don't know. It just seems so obviously wrong to everybody that men should not be able to participate in women's sport. But here we are 5 years later, and it takes the Minister of Sport to send a directive to Raylan Castle at Sport New Zealand to review their Sport New Zealand inclusion guidelines for transgender participation and prioritise fairness and safety. But so it's a good step in the right direction. The issue we have now is that there will be a lot of activists within Sport New Zealand trying to work out how they can get around this and still allow self-ID. So it's going to be, yeah, incredibly interesting to see what they come back with. But we need to keep the pressure on.
Just take us back a bit, because we had that letter, 59 Olympians and some big names on that.
Yeah,
and I think you presented that in person to the Minister of Sport, Chris Bishop, right?
We had a meeting last month. Gary Anderson, Olympian, Candice Riley, who's my co-spokeswoman and amazing athlete herself. We presented the letter signed by 59 New Zealand incredible athletes, from Lorraine Moller to Barbara Kendall, you know, Alison Rowe, Rod Dixon. Like, there was some huge names on there. And basically, they just asked for the guidelines to prioritise fairness and safety and accurately reflect the government's coalition agreement. And I do think that it had an impact. You know, it was really interesting in the meeting, when we presented the letter, Minister Bishop kind of said, gosh, these people are brave putting their names to this letter.
What? He said that?
He actually said that because he understands how toxic the backlash is on this.
Yeah, but it sounds kind of like loser talk.
Yeah, it is loser talk. It's like, these people have courage. Time to find yours, Minister.
Yeah, and well, he obviously has. Do you think that meeting there was what made the difference?
We also presented some polling that courier polling was completed the day before, so it was totally new polling. Don't think he was expecting that either. And it showed that opposition to this continues to grow now, with 72% of Kiwis opposed. And, you know, I think it was 87% of national voters, 90% of ACT and New Zealand First voters opposed to this nonsense, but even the majority of Greens, Māori Party and Labour supporters. So I think that helped too. But I do believe Winston had given him a deadline, and we just gave him a bit of impetus to reach that deadline.
Okay, so you think that was part of it as well?
Yeah.
All came to put enough pressure on. Okay,
yeah.
So what does it actually mean, though? So update the guidelines. What does that actually, I mean, we can easily update anything. It depends on what it is actually said.
I don't know how you update such flawed guidelines. I mean, the entire guidelines revolve around transgender people. Now, the only time females are mentioned in there is if they raise opposition to males who identify as females being in their spaces. Like, we were just completely disregarded throughout the whole document. And so they've got an issue now, because if they want to try and prioritise inclusion and fairness and safety, you cannot do so if you allow males into the female category. The only way to protect females' fairness and safety while allowing inclusion is people participating in the category of their biological sex. But that's strictly to opposed to this ideology that they've all completely sucked up hook, line and sinker.
Yeah, that ideology is very threatened by this, because if you update the guidelines and make women's sports for women only, that kind of says that we're not buying the transgender ideology, actually. And then the whole thing falls over, doesn't it? House of cards collapses.
Exactly, because if trans women are proven to be not women in sport, well, they're proven to be not women. And this is why this is such an important thing that we've got to get right, and why we need to keep the pressure on.
Okay, what are you going to do to keep the pressure on? It's been 5 years already, Ro. Get ready for another.
Just keep being as annoying as I've been for the last 5 years, I think. It was interesting, though, Paul. I do think the minister took us for granted. Like, I think he thought we were just some mumsy group coming to, you know, talk to him about this issue. He wasn't expecting the open letter. He wasn't expecting the polling. He didn't have his officials from Sport New Zealand in there, which he should have done. because he was still trying to tell us that fairness and safety was, there were exemptions for that in the transgender guidelines. And, you know, when I said, Minister, there is not, and showed him the guidelines, and the only time that fairness and safety were mentioned was in regards to transgender participants, he was like trying to scramble through his papers, trying to find the advice he'd got from his officials. They should have been in the room. We should have been able to question them
directly. Well, you don't need advice. It's a gut thing. You just know that it's...
Well, it was. It just became obvious that he and his staffers had not read the document at all.
Right. That's anyway, disrespectful, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it was.
You're a mumsy group. You've been at it for 5 years. You're on all the time.
I don't think he'll do that again.
Were you able to pick up kind of what he personally thought about all of this from what he said, the way he was?
I think, like a lot of Kiwis, he believed it wasn't going on and it wasn't an issue. You know, we started to present some of the impacts, and his immediate comment was, oh, you're going to present me stories from overseas. They won't be from New Zealand. And, you know, it was like,
second guessing already.
Yeah, no, Minister, these are all from New Zealand. They're all New Zealand women's and girls' experiences. And then he asked for some contacts as if to prove, you know, that what we were saying was legit. So we've some of those, not that he's ever used them. Yeah,
it's like make it all up, right?
Yeah, but what was really interesting is that one of the examples was a 12-year-old boy self-identifying into a girls' cricket tournament and staying and sharing dormitories with girls without girls getting any opportunity to consent. And he said his immediate response was, but 12-year-old boys aren't transitioning.
Oh, man, where have you been?
That's exactly what I said. I said, surely, Minister, you can't be that naive. This is
Wait on. You're the Minister of Sport, and presumably he enjoys that because I see him on social media at many sports events, including the Olympics.
Yeah.
So he's obviously a sports guy. He's from Lower Hutt, so, you know, he's probably into all the sports. You take on the job as sports minister. This is only the biggest issue in sport. How did you miss it?
I do think that Chris Bishop is an incredibly busy minister, and probably the sports side of it. He enjoys the, you know, going to the sports events, etc., but he hadn't probably invested much time into anything else in regards to sport.
All right, so what happens next, Ro? You're waiting to hear how these updates will run?
Yeah, my gut feel is that Winston would like this sorted by the end of the year. And I think the pressure's been put on Sport New Zealand to do that as well. But it remains to be seen. We'll keep the pressure on from our end, like insist on consultation like all the rainbow groups are with Sport New Zealand as well, and see where it lands. But, yeah, keep the pressure on. If anyone has, you know, hears of any other stories, share them with Raylan Castle. We actually, after our meeting with Chris Bishop, about a week later, a roller derby player called Monique Murphy wrote an open post on her Facebook page about being injured with males.
We know we had Monique on. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. And interesting that I asked her to send that to Raylan Castle along with all the feedback and abuse that she'd got. And she had a Zoom, to be fair to Raylan. She got on a Zoom with Monique and basically implied to Monique that, you know, she gets way worse attacks on social media than Monique, as if women being attacked on social media and abused should be just accepted. I think that was the most disappointing part of it.
Isn't that whataboutism?
Oh, but, you know, Monique didn't put herself into a public position asking to be abused. She was just playing sport.
Yeah. And by the way, Raylene, it's not about you.
No, exactly.
You're not out there playing a sport. When was the last time you were in a roller derby team?
Yes.
Oh, dear. Okay, Ro, interesting to get that update. Thanks for coming on this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.